Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to talk to him a little bit about the Browns. In fact, he's on the hotline right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, Nate, how are you?
Hey, Nate.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. It's been kind of a fun offseason for the Browns here, especially this last week. We haven't had a chance to talk to you. First of all, let's just start with your thoughts on a very controversial signing at running back.
Well, I wasn't surprised by the move because of the John Dorsey connection and the history of John Dorsey taking chances on guys with character concerns. So I thought it made sense from that standpoint. I was a little surprised by the timing of it. I didn't think it would be this early in the offseason, you know, just shortly after the Super Bowl. I thought it might take a little bit more time, but the fact that it happened wasn't surprising.
What about, and I don't want to turn it to football yet, but I think, Nate, that the fact that he's a local guy works in his favor here as far as being accepted by the fan base and maybe getting a little more of a pass than he, and not because of, not a complete pass on what he did. The NFL is going to deal with that. But a pass in the poll of public opinion as far as giving a guy a second chance.
I've been surprised looking at, you know, online polls. You know, most of them are anywhere between 60 and 70% of the people voting have been in favor of the move. I thought it would be a little more, you know, negative than that. But a lot of people are supporting it, and maybe that has something to do with it, Jeff. I think a lot of it is just that this guy's an elite talent. I mean, he led the league in rushing as a rookie. He made the Pro Bowl, and, you know, NFL executives, John Dorsey included, talk about character, but winning and talent trump everything, and we've seen that time and again, and that's in John Dorsey's track record. He's willing to take risks on guys, if they are talented enough, and Kareem Hunt certainly fits that category. So I think that's why people are looking optimistically at the move more than anything, even more than the hometown factor.
Nate, how long do you think he's going to be out with the suspension from the commissioner? And then when he does come back, what does it mean for the Browns backfield?
I think it's going to be a double-digit suspension in terms of games. You know, you're looking at an event – an incident that was caught on video, obviously, that is a huge PR disaster, horrible behavior. I think he's going to definitely pay the price for that, but then you throw two other incidents that he's being investigated on top of that. I don't think there's any way he gets away with anything less than a double-digit game suspension. The question is, and John Dorsey didn't know the answer to this the other day, he missed five games last year. The Chiefs cut him. There's a cause and effect because the video came out. The Chiefs were lied to by Kareem Hunt about the incident. And when they saw it on video, they knew they were lied to. They cut him. So he missed five games. Is there any way that in some kind of agreement the NFL will use some of that time that he missed last year as time served toward his upcoming suspension? I don't know that John Dorsey said he didn't know. So that would be interesting to look at. So what does it mean for the Browns' backfield? I think it makes Duke Johnson expendable if Kareem Hunt does all the things that he needs to do and stays out of trouble and is, and you know, a productive member of the locker room and becomes available to play. You know, John Dorsey said he's on a zero-tolerance policy now. So, you know, he has to stay in line. He has to do the right things to become available to play. But when he does become available to play and the Browns feel like they have him and Nick Chubb as a tandem, I do think that they could move Duke Johnson.
That's interesting, Nate. I think so, too. But I just don't think you can do anything until he shows that he's actually good to go. And I don't mean just, you know, the suspension's up or anything else. if you're putting too much stock in him, I think he has a lot to prove before you say, yep, he is a member of the Cleveland Browns moving forward. And
I totally agree with you. I think he has to prove it. And you've got some real challenges here. Jeff, you talked about his hometown earlier. And, I mean, I'm sure you guys have read about it. USA Today did a great job of reporting on his family's history of criminal activity and arrests and prison sentences. So that I think there's some challenges in general with him, and there's certainly some additional challenges with him being back home.
What a dynamic force, though. If you think about Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, whatever else you bring in at wide receiver. Nate, just straight football here. Forget all the other stuff. Man, that's going to be one of the most potent offenses in the NFL, is it not?
Yeah, and I mean, that's why you make the move. I mean, there was a book that was written about the New York Jets, and Mike Pettin starred in it, Collision Low Crossers. And one of the interesting things that came from that book, and it was a really, really good one, came from Mike Pettin, and it was P equals T was an equation he liked to talk about, and that was production equals tolerance. If you can produce in the NFL, teams are going to be way more willing to put up with your BS, with your off-the-field issues, and Kareem Hunt certainly can produce. So, like I said, with this guy being an elite talent, he's going to get the chance to redeem himself. If you're not an elite talent, you're not worth the trouble.
Let me throw this one. What does the definition for John Dorsey, and I think this is where he kind of leaves himself hanging. You better hope that Kareem Hunt turns out to be a good citizen. When, we spent this whole time trying to figure out who the coach was, and he kept using the term man of character, man of character, man of character. And then you take a flyer and say, let's give Kareem Hunt a second chance. What is the definition of man of character to John Dorsey moving forward?
That's a great question, because it certainly seems like it contradicts itself, that statement and then his actions. And so I don't know if he's holding the coach to a higher standard than a player, but with the players, I mean, we've seen it with Tyreek Hill. This is a guy who did plead guilty to punching and choking his girlfriend, who was 2 months pregnant at the time of that incident, who was drafted by John Dorsey in the fifth round. That has paid off for the Chiefs. He's become one of the best receivers in the league, and he has remained available to play. So John Dorsey was never burned by that gamble, and I think that has kind of emboldened him to continue to make these kind of risky moves. Antonio Callaway is the one that comes to mind with his first year with the Browns. All the off-the-field stuff, on Antonio Callaway's resume did not keep John Dorsey from drafting him in the fourth round. So, yeah, I mean, the man of character is not applied to his player acquisitions.
And then let me throw this at you. What did we learn from, and I asked this earlier in the week, somebody else, but I think it's interesting. What did we learn about Josh Gordon with John Dorsey in particular? And to me, I'll always remember Dorsey as the guy that cut the cord. The guy that said, okay, we're done with this. And so I wonder, does that play into how he treats future players when it comes to stuff that's going on off the field?
Well, yeah. So John Dorsey all the time talks about how he believes in second chances, how it's tied to his faith, and he's a Catholic. He goes to church all the time, and this is part of his religion. With Josh Gordon, he got way more than a second chance. I mean, how many? I mean, can any of us put a number on it? No. I mean, and it just reached the point where he had finally run out of chances, and so when he says Kareem Hunt is on a zero tolerance policy, I take his word for it. And, the contract reflects that. There's no guaranteed money. The public message reflects that when he said that, he's got to earn trust with actions, not with words. And there's no guarantee he'll stick with this team. He's got to do everything right. And, he's going to counseling, and we're happy with that. And he's got to keep it up. So we'll see how he treats Kareem Hunt if something does arise, but I think he should be expected to keep his word. Here he is giving him that second chance, and I don't think that he deserves more than that if he betrays the trust here.
Nate, let me ask you this one. The Browns caught a lot of grief from a lot of people about signing Kareem Hunt. Redskins mm-hmm. did the same thing with Reuben Foster. If the NFL doesn't outlaw or say, if the NFL doesn't say these guys are not eligible to play in the league, they're putting their teams in a situation where they're kind of thinking, well, if we don't sign them, somebody else will. Does the NFL need to step in and just have a more cut and dry, a stronger policy that, hey, until this is all cleared up, you guys are done. You're out. Or is this okay?
I think a stronger policy would be a good idea. I mean, here's a guy in limbo, hasn't even been suspended yet, and he's getting signed. I think that is a bad look and a bad message. I understand why it was done, and it's exactly what you said, Jeff, that if you're a GM and you're willing to take risks on these kind of guys, and you know the guy, from scouting him since 2016 and you drafted him, and you think that other teams are in pursuit and possibly going to take that risk that you want to take, then you do it. Should you have that option? I like what you're getting at, Jeff. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe not this soon.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We just ran out of time here. I want to have you back on in the next. I want to talk to you like in the next couple weeks or two about what the Browns' needs are. So we'd love to have you back on really soon.
Sounds great. Look forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it. Make sure you read him in the Beacon Journal every day. Of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.